Good morning. Would you stand with me and sing?
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend. Shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and never is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day, I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Not bear the wounds that feed us, or walk the road to Calvary. We did not share your cup of suffering, and yet we share your victory. We did not wear that heavy burden, nor face the shame and agony. A crown of thorns was placed upon you, and now we are crowned with love and peace. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. To be a man of sorrows, that I can be a child of God. You stood and faced this world's rejection. I stand accepted by your love. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Sin was buried with the Savior. Now there is hope beyond the tomb. For you were raised again in glory, and I am raised to life with you. Forevermore to live with you. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Praise the Lord, my God. Now I am free at the cross. Your grace took hold of me. There you paid my debt. There you fought my fight. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine. Yes, the battle was yours, and the blessing is mine.
Let's take a minute and let that sink in. Lord, thank you for fighting my battle, the one I could not win, the one I can't win. Thank you for defending me when I am too weak to defend myself. Lord, we pray for your strength and your mercy. And we pray that you would help us to put on your armor and use it. And we pray that the ways of the enemy would be thwarted. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us, that no matter what happens, we know exactly where we're going. And we pray that we wouldn't forget that when things get really dark. Help us to remember, it doesn't matter what happens to me. I know where I'm going. The enemy loses all power when we remember that. Lord, bless us today as we hear from the word. Help us to digest it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it is great to have you guys here this morning. Woo. It's been a tough week, and I needed this. I know I'm supposed to be ministering to you, I guess, but man, sometimes it comes the other way, and I really like that. Oh, man. It's great to have you here this morning, especially for joining us online. Hi, guys. Welcome to Cornerstone. Sorry, my mind is a little scrambled at the moment. Welcome to Cornerstone. we do have a question of the day today. And this actually happened to me once. Would you rather uncontrollably break out into song or unexpectedly lose your voice? Which one do you think happened to me? I was a voice major in college, and the second one happened to me. I totally lost my voice. I could not sing. To this day, I don't know what happened. But for 2 months, it was like that. Something happened, and then it came back. So, anyway, kids, grade 3 and under, you can go down to children's church. Everyone else, ask each other this question. You're all so quiet. It's kind of freaking me out. Talk.
All right. Right. Welcome to Cornerstone. Yo, I gotta say, Matt was wrong. Y'all ain't quiet. Y'all noisy. That's all right. Hey guys, welcome to Cornerstone. I just have to say, like, every week you never know what's gonna happen, who's gonna be here. We got like a dozen people who are here for the first time today. So if you're here for the first time, you're not alone, okay? Welcome to Cornerstone. If this is your first time here, we are happy to see you. Some of you have been here for more than that, for quite a while. But I have to tell you, our Oasis group took about 30 kids to this all-nighter called Reverb from Friday night into Saturday morning. So I'm still recovering from that. If I fall asleep during the sermon, just hold on, I'll be back. Okay, I probably won't fall asleep. I'm pretty excited about this message today, that God has put some things on my heart from his word that I think can be helpful. They're helpful to me, and I think I can get it off to you that it's helpful for you too. So I want to start with a story. There once was a young prince who lived in a vast kingdom. His father, the king, was a very busy man, but every night he reminded his son, "One day, you'll be king over my kingdom, and all of this will be yours." The king, however, was a foolish man, and he gambled away all of his wealth. In his shame, he maintained the lie that the kingdom was still abundantly wealthy, though in reality they were bankrupt.
He convinces closest advisors to maintain the lie that they were still wealthy, especially to his family. And so the king continued to tell his son, even into his adulthood, one day soon you'll be king and all of this will be yours. Well, the king died. The son finally became king, and he'd been told so many times how wealthy he would be. He was so excited about his inheritance. His first order was for his most skillful tailors to craft for him the most beautiful royal robe ever known. Spin it out of the purest gold and the finest silk, he said. Well, the tailors didn't know what to do because the kingdom was out of gold. They had nothing to spin with, so they devised a scheme. They would pretend to spin the finest gold, gold so fine it could only be seen by the purest of eye. So they spun and they spun and they spun and they spun, spinning nothing, of course. And day after day, the king returned to check on the progress of his new robe, and they would make a show of all they had done, holding nothing in the air, saying, do you like it? Do you like it? And hoping he would like it, but unable to see a thing. Not wanting anyone to know he did not possess the purest of eyes, he praised their work and went on his way, hoping the next day he would be able to see this glorious robe. Well, the king's advisors and the tailors were delighted that their plan was working. And after weeks and weeks of work, they told the king, your royal robes are almost ready. The king was so excited, he decided to celebrate by showing off his new robe with a parade, and everyone would get to see this beautiful robe and praise their new king. So the morning came. The king could still not see his royal robe, but he went along with the parade anyway. Stripped off his outer clothes, and his tailor helped the king put on his new robe, and they all praised him for how glorious he looked. He must be the wealthiest, most noble man in all the world, they lied. And the king beamed. Well, the parade began. The king marched boldly down Main Street, wearing nothing but his birthday suit. All the people cheered and praised the king, pretending they could all see his royal robes because all the people had been told the gold in this robe is so fine, only the purest of eye can see it. So the parade was a great success. Everyone in the kingdom seemed to have fallen for the scheme. So one little girl in the crowd tugged on her mother's sleeve and asked, Mommy, why is the king marching down the street with no clothes on? Well, her voice was drowned out because of all the noise around and all the commotion, so she said it louder, Mommy, why is the king walking down the street with no clothes on? Still, her mother paid no attention. So in her desperation, just as the king passed, this little girl screamed at the top of her lungs, Mommy, why is the king naked? This time, everyone heard the girl, including the king. And he finally realized he had been the fool. And from that day forward, he was secretly referred to as the Naked King. So you have heard that story before. This was my tweak of Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Emperor's New Clothes, right? Why did I tell that story this morning? I needed to fill 10 minutes. No, that's not actually why. The reason I share that story is because for centuries, and even millennia now, Christians have been teaching their children of an invisible God, an invisible spirit, an invisible kingdom, an invisible battle that can only be fought with invisible weapons and invisible armor. And condescending atheists would look on us with pity and scorn. So I ask you, have we been playing the role of the gullible king? When really none of this is true. This is not me coming out, guys. This is not. What makes us so sure God is really real? Do we have anything better to stand on than that king whose royal advisors had made it all up? Have our ancestors made it all up? Is that where we're at? Some Christians argue, well, even if I'm wrong, I'm no worse off than the atheist. Maybe that thought has gone through your head. Well, the Apostle Paul would strongly disagree with you if that's your thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. You see, he was talking about Christianity, not American Christianity. We have it pretty good most of the time. But Christianity as a whole, They're suffering. It's painful at times. So he said, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all men. If Christianity is all an elaborate fabrication to perpetuate a system that's actually built on nothing, the atheists should feel sorry for us. They should. We should be doing something else today, like sleeping or going to the beach or the mall or whatever. So I have this question. Is Christianity built on real evidence, or is it built on hopes and wishful dreams? Some of you are solid in that. You understand it is not built on hopes and wishful dreams, but some of you might be wondering. I am not sure. Well, let me suggest to you that you don't have to see something to know that it's real. Example, I believe every single one of you has a functioning brain, and I've never seen a one of them, and I'm not going to ask you to prove it. Right? We can't see thoughts, but we know they're there. With the brain, an architectural engineer can design these beautiful, awe-inspiring structures. My cousin is one such engineer. She helped to design the structure and oversee the construction on site of what's called the Sphere. You ever heard of the Sphere? This new building in Las Vegas? It is the newest, most impressive entertainment center, I don't know, maybe in the world. This thing is 366 feet high. The exterior is covered with 1.2 million LED panels, each the size of a hockey puck. And Nate, you'll appreciate this. You know how many amplified speakers are inside this building? 166,000. Yeah. AI taught me that. I think it's true. This building is impressive. It is impressive. Opened just about a year ago. My cousin oversaw some of the construction of that. She was part of the design. But that building, before it existed in person, it existed in someone's mind. And after a whole lot of research, a whole lot of money, a whole lot of work and planning, that building became something you can see and touch and experience. Well, guess what? There was once a time when this didn't exist either. But the idea was born in the mind of the greatest architect, the greatest engineer of all time. Guys, the ground that you stand on is tangible proof that the invisible God does indeed exist. He is the designer of everything. Think about the most beautiful place you've ever been. The most beautiful thing you've ever seen. I mean, I love my computer that shows different places in the world. It keeps changing. Like, what's that? Where's that? I click on it all the time. Where's that? I want to know. Iceland. Okay, cool. This is Glacier National Park, a place I basically almost got to see when we went out west, but the snow stopped us. I see pictures on this on my Facebook like almost every day. Like, Glacier National Park, I want to go there. It's beautiful. Think about the complexity of the human mind, our capacity to reason, to worship, to love. Think about the order in our universe. It is not chaotic at all. We know with absolute precision it's going to take 365.242374 days for the Earth to make it one time around the sun. Every single year. What is that? That is order. That is design. Think about water. Waterfalls, rivers, oceans, storms, snow, ice. While you're thinking about it, pray for rain. We need it. The seasons. Guys, it's all the product of a designer. It's not chance. This thing is an absolute masterpiece. I'm happy to live here. And we could talk for days about the evidence of a creator. We could do that. But the greatest evidence that proves Christianity is real, that we not only have a creator but also have a redeemer, is Jesus' own resurrection from the dead. Guys, there's so much evidence for the resurrection. But I'm not going to get into that now because this is actually introduction, right? We're talking about something else today, but Jesus' resurrection. So many, time after time, devout atheists have sought to discredit Christianity based on lack of evidence. They went after it, and time again, they became Christians because of the overwhelming evidence. Not because they wanted to believe, they wanted to not believe. So all that to say, what we believe is nothing like the king's golden robe. It is nothing like that. The invisible aspects of our faith are absolutely rock solid, including this armor of God that we're going to talk about today, because we are urged to put on this invisible armor. What is that? How do we do it? It's invisible, but it's real. And we desperately need it. Matt had a rough week. Maybe you had a rough week. We need the armor of God. So I'm going to go back to where we were last Sunday to catch us up. A bunch of you were not there. You might want to go to our Facebook or our website and catch that. But here's where we were. If you got a Bible, open it up, bring it up on your phone, whatever you want to do. But follow along. Let's be in this passage together. Ephesians 6, verse 10, we'll start. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. The armor of God, the spiritual battle. So we talked about last week, and just quick review, the four bullets we talked about last week. Number one, the spiritual realm is real, containing both good and evil spirits. And if we had testimony time, we could have a whole bunch of you come up and talk for hours and hours about some of the hard things you've been through, some of the dark days you've walked through, some of the valleys you've traveled through. We could talk about that. There is real good and evil. It's a spiritual battle, and it's real. Number two, our struggle is not against other people. It's against spiritual forces of evil. We get confused. We have trouble with this person. We feel like they're our enemy. They are not. No people are your enemy. The enemy is spiritual, and it's real, but we get distracted, and some of you might be there right now. We'll talk more about that later. Number three, it takes spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual battle. You can't do it with your own resolve. You can't do it by working out. We need spiritual weapons. Number four, it's a lot smarter to prepare for battle before you get there than to wait until you need it. Right? We got to prepare for this. You can't, hopefully I know what to do. We've got to prepare. So go back and catch that one if you missed it last week. But the spiritual battle is absolutely real. Absolutely real. So what does he say next in verse 14? Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I have to apologize. I thought I was going to finish Ephesians today. I'm not going to finish Ephesians today. I can't. I was like so weeks ahead. I was like, I'm going to do it. I told you we're starting a new series next week. We're starting a new series in 2 weeks. So I think you guys are probably more okay with that than I am. We just move on. This is the armor of God, guys. It's the armor of God. And I love the way AJ, one of our members, pictured it here in this poster. She built this thing like 6 years ago as, I need to remember this. There's scripture on it. The main scripture's right here, and other passages to encourage and affirm and remind. But one of the things I liked, I saw this years ago. She's had it tucked away. I'm like, AJ, can you get that thing back out? And so she got it out for us. One of the things I really like is it reminds us that the battle's not only for men. Right? This is not just for men. Women need to dress for battle too. Women need to dress for battle too. We're all in this. And this is just, you might want to come up and check this out later and read the captions and just take a closer look at it. You're welcome. You can do that even now if you want. You want to sit in the front and look at it while I'm talking. That's okay. But let me just ask this question. How in the world do you put on armor that you can't see? How do you do that? Okay, we got this armor. Put it on. What are you talking about? How do I do that? Well, let's think about it. It says put on the full armor of God. Okay? The full armor of God. If it's the armor of God, where do you think we get it from? Walmart? Amazon? No. It's the armor of God. So we get it from pawn shop? If God is there, maybe he'll give it to you. We have to go to God to get the armor. The armor is the armor of God. We get it from God. So first, I receive it from God. But if it's unseen, how do I put it on? I get it from God. How do I wear it? How do I put it on? This is a little overview here. You put it on by faith. You believe. You believe that it's there, that when he offers something, he's not kidding. I put it on by faith. And once I have it on, how do I use it? Okay, I got the armor. I got the shield. What do I do with the shield now? What's that? The power button. You need the power button. What's the power button? Prayer. You use it through prayer. There's a lot of talk about prayer in this passage. So you put it, Lord, God, give me strength. God, help me be strong right now. I'm getting attacked. I want to do something for your name. Help me. Give me strength. We have access to power from God to fight the battles of life. And maybe if you're here, I don't have any battles of life. Okay. Go away. You got battles of life. And if you don't have battles of life, you got to get in one, because this is an offensive battle too. And we'll talk about that. We have battles and we need the power of God. So you receive it from God. You put it on by faith. You use it with prayer. That's an overall picture. And I was encouraged in my home group this past week. We were talking about some of this stuff from last Sunday's sermon, different facets of the spiritual battle. And it was a really good conversation. I appreciated the discussion. But one of the things it did for me as a pastor is it helped me realize, you guys are already wearing this armor. You already have it on. Many of you, most of you maybe, you have the armor on already. You're wearing it. And maybe you're here like, I don't feel like a very skillful warrior right now. Okay, but you have the armor. So I want to look at the pieces one by one. And not as like, hey, maybe you never heard of the shield of faith. Maybe you never heard of faith before. But more like, let's become more familiar with this armor. This is our armor from God. I want to become better skilled in using it. So that's what I'm looking at. That's what I hope we can do. So it starts off with the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What is the belt of truth? Keep in mind, this whole thing is an analogy, right? It's an analogy to help us better understand this invisible aspect of our lives. So I don't have a slew of magical belts I'm going to be handing out later. Like, here's your belt of truth. Put it on. No, these are invisible. Sorry to disappoint. This is an analogy. And think about who wrote this, right? The Apostle Paul. Some of this had to have come out of his circumstances. Because remember, he's writing from prison. And some of his prison time was spent chained, literally chained, to a Roman soldier. And guess what the soldier was wearing? A helmet, body armor, sword. Like, he had all that stuff on. Book of Philippians tells us when he was continuously chained 24 hours a day to a rotation of soldiers, he eventually got to share the gospel of Jesus with, he says, the whole palace guard. Everybody gets a turn with Paul. I don't want it. He keeps talking to me. Everybody heard. He spent hour after hour with nothing to do but look at these soldiers and talk to them about Jesus. And that's what he did. Then at some point, he must have been reading the book of Isaiah. And he was familiar with the Old Testament. But somehow he must have made this connection, because Isaiah 59 verse 17 says this. It's talking about God himself here. It says, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. It's talking about God. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. So he had that picture going on, and he uses the analogy differently, but it appears the seed of this armor analogy comes from this passage about God in Isaiah. Thank you, John, for pointing that out. He showed that to me. And that may be part of why Paul identifies it as the armor of God. God's the one wearing it in Isaiah. And he wants us to wear it. Whoa. The belt of truth. The belt. Belts are pretty important for soldiers. Pretty important. Kind of holds everything together, right? It provides a place to hang your gun or your sword. It keeps your pants from falling down. If you're charging the enemy, you don't want to be doing it like this. That's not okay. And if you have to like run for it, you don't want that either. The belt of truth. Truth, guys. Truth is our foundation. Stop laughing, Nate. It's not that funny. Truth is our foundation, guys. Truth. Not just knowledge, truth. What kind of truth? Truth about God. Truth about God, what he's like, his track record that we see in the Bible, his faithfulness, his promises, his character. We can trust him. Truth about us. Truth about what he says about us, who we are through Jesus. We are chosen. We're adopted into his family. We're redeemed, forgiven, cleansed, sealed, loved, and liked by God himself. Man. In our home group, we talked about the ways we can resist the devil and his attacks. And one of the dominant answers, we were talking about that, we resist the devil by rehearsing truth. We fight him with truth. And guys, some of us have been beaten down with lies, accusations, judgments from all kinds of different people. Some people we really, really trusted. And we've got those voices in our heads. They're echoing in there, and some of those voices are loud. Guys, the battle in our minds is one of the hardest battles to fight. But we can fight those voices with truth. The voices of God's truth, God's voice, can begin to drown out those other voices, the condemning voices. But that battle is real. And in that battle, the belt of truth can hold us together. Well, we got to keep going. The breastplate of right. I want to keep talking about the belt. Keep talking about the belt. We got to move on. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate's pretty important, right? Because it covers your vitals. You know, it's what police officers wear today, right? The bulletproof vest. They could get shot in the arm, and that's kind of not great. We wouldn't really like that, but you're not going to shoot me in the heart. So what is this in spiritual terms? The breastplate of righteousness. I stand before you as a righteous man. Right? Right? What? Be careful here, guys. This is not talking about your righteousness or my righteousness. It's not. That's not what this is. What is it? It's not your own goodness. It's not your worthiness. Guys, if that's our breastplate, if that's all you've got to protect yourself with, I don't know about you. I know about some of you. I know about me. That's not enough. I got some weak spots in my breastplate. But that's not the breastplate we're talking about. Romans chapter 3 gives us the bad news. It says there's no one righteous. Nobody. Nobody measures up. What do you call a soldier with a belt and a helmet but no breastplate? Dead. Romans tells us about a different kind of righteousness.
I love this. I love this passage. This is truth. He's talking about how unrighteous we are, how nobody's done right. Everybody is basically vile. He goes on about that, quoting the Psalms. But then he says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin, guilt. Oh, I'm not righteous. But listen, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This is good news. The righteousness of God, the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is the righteousness of God, not of you, not of me. That is a breastplate that will protect you. The righteousness of God given to you by faith in Jesus. There's another passage that kind of ties in with this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, God made him who had no sin. That could only be talking about one person, right? His name is Jesus, the one who had no sin, Jesus. He made him to be sin for us so that in him, what? We might become the righteousness of God. You guys could stew on that, ponder that for a long, long time. Really smart Bible people call that the great exchange. The great exchange, our sin for Jesus' righteousness. That is the deal of a lifetime. That is no fair trade. I give you all my junk. You give me your righteousness? That's a stupid deal. But he loves us, and so he gives it to us. He wants it. I want that. Like taking all the worst Halloween candy. Like, I want that so you can have all the good stuff. Like, but it's way better than that. Way better than that. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you have the breastplate of God's righteousness in place. And with that breastplate in place, you also have the power to do right things to kind of match that breastplate you've been given. This is good stuff. Again, we could talk longer, but we're not gonna. We got to keep going. What's the next one? The gospel of peace. Verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This piece of armor is on your feet. So you're on the move with it, right? You're taking it somewhere. You're ready. But is this armor, is the gospel of peace something you're sharing or something you have? I always kind of saw this part of this is something that I share. I mean, I bring the gospel of peace, but how is that armor? I suggest the gospel of peace is something you have. Something you have. You have peace with God because of the great exchange. And that makes you ready to move out, to bring it. To bring that same message to other people. You can't share peace unless you have peace. So first, this is something I have. Don't skip that part. Don't forget. Yeah, I got to share it. No, first you got to have it. You got to enjoy it. You got to love it. We talk about things we're excited about. If you're not excited about the peace of God, you're not going to talk about it. So yeah, you do bring it. We do bring it, but don't skip that part that it's yours first. The readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Next one, the shield of faith. The shield of faith, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Nate's ready for this one. Bring it. Guys, this one is important. Why is it important? Because we have an enemy shooting flaming arrows at us all the time. You maybe had some this morning on your way to church. You know that family tussle that goes on? Things happen Sunday morning. You didn't get up on time. Like all of a sudden you're irritated, mad, angry. Like the enemy shoots so many different kinds of flaming arrows at us. And again, these arrows are invisible. You don't see them coming.
don't know how many conflicts my wife and I have had we did not see coming. How do we get here? I hate this. Flaming arrows of the evil one. We have another, you know, another title for the devil is our adversary, our enemy, our accuser. He's constantly shooting those arrows. What kind of arrows does he shoot? Well, he's the accuser. He shoots accusation. He shoots accusation, causing you to feel guilty, causing you to feel doubt. He shoots temptations, and he knows which ones are going to get you. He knows which ones are going to work on you. Some aren't going to work. He's not going to shoot those at you. He'll save those for somebody else. Distractions, discouragement. He's got an arsenal. And it's the shield of faith. It's how we defend against all of that. Faith. Faith. That's not just knowing the truth, but it's believing the truth. And this piece is really cool because there are different words for shield. And the one Paul uses here is the same one the Romans use. And this isn't like you see those round ones like in a little dual sword fight. These are big shields. These are 2 feet wide and 4 feet high. You can hide your whole body behind them and they're square, they're rectangle. So guess what? The Romans would line them up side to side. They'd make a wall. You're not getting through this. I was going to show a video clip from what's called Risen. It's a movie that came out several years ago. They have a scene. If you want to watch it, I was going to play it, but I watched it. It's like, this is the scene that makes it PG-13. So like there's kids and I'm not going to show it. But this is the kind of shield. Just like with the Roman shield, the shield of faith is pretty helpful on its own. But how much more so when our shields of faith are linked together? We need that. That's why we do this. That's why we connect with each other. That's why we share. I need you to pray for me about this. Lincoln Shields. I know we could keep talking about this one too, right? Let's keep going. The helmet of salvation, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Take that thing. Take it. You know, covering your head's pretty important in battle. You don't go to battle without your helmet on. In the spiritual battle, your salvation through Jesus is your spiritual protection. This is good. The enemy has no power to spiritually ruin you. Matt was talking about that earlier. He can't do that. He might be able to hurt you. Some of his arrows do get through. They do. And you're not weird if they do. It happens to every single one of us. And some of them, they can take you out of the fight. It can just knock you down. But if you have salvation, your eternity is secure. You are secure. That's a pretty important piece of the armor, right? Make sure that's on. Make sure you've got that. We're talking about all this stuff. It's not for everybody. Not everybody has spiritual armor. Only those who are in Christ. Only those who are born again, believers in Jesus Christ. We need this. The supernatural protection of the helmet of salvation. Thank you, God, for giving me that. Keep going. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice, this is the first offensive weapon we've seen. Just about all the armor so far has been for my protection, which is similar to the army of a Roman soldier. They had a lot of stuff they wore. A lot of protection, and then they would have a sword and maybe a small dagger for those. I just got to do that right now. Sorry. Pacifists. It's talking about swords and stuff. So they didn't have a lot of weapons. And you don't really need a lot of weapons. You just need to be skilled with the weapons you have. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Are you skilled with the sword of the Spirit? This is a weapon we've got to be familiar with. We got to practice using. And if you're just getting into this, that's okay. You're holding the sword for the first time? Okay. Everybody starts somewhere, but we got to practice. We got to use this thing. This thing can protect us from any enemy attack defensively. But it can also be used to advance against the enemy.
And one of my questions, I'm studying this armor, is this spiritual battle mostly defensive? Because a lot of this armor is pretty much defensive. Is this all about defending against the attacks of Satan? Or is it also offensive? We know it's defensive. It tells us right here, I want to deflect the arrows of the accuser. He's firing at me. I don't want to get hit. But then I thought about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. He said this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Think about that for a second. Gates don't advance. Gates stay put. Gates defend. So then who is advancing? Do y'all know? It's us. We're the ones advancing. We are. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying we get to storm the gates of hell. That's what he says. That is offensive if you didn't notice. That's taking back territory the enemy has claimed. That's bringing the gospel of peace to people who are enslaved by the devil and setting them free by the power of God. We get to do that by his power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We're not putting on this armor so we can hide out in our safe little churches, huddle together in seclusion. Nobody's going to hurt us. We got the armor on. No, we are called to storm the gates of hell because Jesus isn't done saving people yet. Right? That is why seven adults, full-grown adults, stayed up all night with 30 Oasis kids. Thank you, sir. Some of you were there. Reverb, Friday night, all-nighter. I'm 48 years old. Some people say it's too old to do that stuff. We got to spend hours hanging out, having fun, getting to know them, just doing some fun stuff. And they got to hear the gospel message. Some of them for the first time. And guess what? At least 8 of them responded. And not just being like, yeah, I'll nod my head. They stood up out of their seats. They walked to the back so they could talk to somebody about it. That's courage. The Spirit of God was working. That was worth it. I'll do an all-nighter for that. I will do an all-nighter for that. So the armor, yes, it is certainly to defend against spiritual attack. That is very, very real. Not minimizing that at all. We absolutely need it. But it's also to empower us for the offensive part of the battle too. Our mission, lead more people to Jesus. Help them find freedom. But remember, guys, we don't just grab our armor and rush out into the fight. We need God's help to use this armor. And we use it through prayer, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. All. Pray. Prayer is our connection to God, and it brings power to the armor. Regarding the spiritual battle we're in, prayer is our connection to the power of God. It's kind of like a second offensive weapon. All right, we got the sword of the Spirit and the power of God, the power of prayer. And as Paul's explaining all this, he's going through it, he realizes, man, I need this too. And so right after that, he says, and guys, pray for me too. Please pray for me. I need this. And guess what? If Paul needs it, we all need it. This is the armor, my friends. This is the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet dressed with the gospel of peace. Are you seeing this armor a little bit differently, maybe, than you saw it before? The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer, lots of prayer. It's for our protection, it's for our mission. We receive it from God, we put it on by faith, we use it through prayer. This is the way you can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And this would be a great place for me to just close in prayer right now, but I'm not going to do that. I got more to say. Because this armor is only helpful if we use it. So I want to get really practical just for a minute. I want to get really real with you.
In what kinds of situations do we need this armor? We started to talk about it already. Defensively, offensively. What kind of situations? Where do we need this armor? What do you think? What comes to your mind? What situation do I need the armor of God for? Talk to me. Every situation. Temptation. TV. Yeah. What else?
Anger.
Right. Anxiety. Oh, button pushing people. Some people are real good at that. They're like the archers of the enemy. Pew, pew. There's a lot of situations, God, offensively and defensively. I need the armor to share the gospel. I need the armor to live faithfully, to bring the love of Christ to the world, but I also need it to protect me from discouragement, to protect me from accusations, doubt, all these things. We need the armor every day for so much of life. Kate said it right. We need it for just about everything. I don't know if I need the armor to brush my teeth. I think I can do that myself. But just about everything else. So let me look at an example. What would using God's armor look like when I'm being tempted by bitterness? That's kind of random, right? Well, that's a very real example for me right now. That's the place that I need it. Because I have a relational wound that is many years old. And every single time I think about this person, I get tempted to get sucked into bitterness. It's a battle I'm in right now. You tell me, is bitterness dangerous for a Christ follower? Yeah, not going to argue with me about that. So how do I fight it? How do I fight that with the armor of God? Let's go through it. Belt of truth. Okay, belt of truth. Truth is, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, I'm angry. I got to be honest about that with God. I got to be real with him. Truth is, I want this person to get some judgment for what they keep doing to me. Okay, that's honest. But truth is also, I've been forgiven for a lot of things. So I can be forgiving toward other people. The truth is, yeah, what they've done hurts me and keeps hurting me. But truth is also, they're going through some stuff that I probably don't even know about. The truth is, they have battles and they have struggles. Truth is, they're on a journey with God too, and they're not there yet, just like I'm not there yet. Truth is, God loves them just as much as he loves me. Truth is, God calls me to love even my enemy. So if I feel like that person's my enemy, even though they're not, God calls me to love them. So I pray, God, help me wash away my bitterness. Help me to love that person. Help me to be gracious. I cannot do this on my own. Help me be strong in the Lord and your mighty power. Belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. What's that? How do I use that? God has given me the righteousness of his son Jesus. I can do the right thing. I don't have to give in to that temptation. I can be gracious even when I'm treated unfairly because of who I am in Christ. I don't have to dwell on what someone else has done to me. I can glory in what Christ has done for me. So go away, bitterness. There's no room for you here. Feet ready with the gospel of peace. The gospel has brought real peace between me and God. So I can carry that peace into those places where peace does not yet reign. I can bring it with. I can rise above the injustice, the personal hurt, and by the power of God, the peace I have in the gospel, I can engage in that with peace. Shield of faith. The arrows come flying, the memories, the thoughts, they come flying, tempting thoughts to stew about the injustice, angry, bitter thoughts toward that person. I can deflect the arrows with the shield of faith. God, I'm going to trust you right now. Help me, empower me. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to not lash back at them in my words, in my actions, or even in my thoughts. Thoughts are the hardest though, God. You know that. So strengthen me there. You've allowed this in my life, so don't let it defeat me. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. What happened between me and that person cannot touch my salvation. God, I'm still your child no matter what. Even if this person never accepts me, even if this relationship never gets better, you have accepted me. You receive me unconditionally. I'm yours, God, and may that reality mean more to me than their acceptance. And the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to chop off their... No. Your word tells me to overcome evil with good. Your word tells me to love my enemy, but I don't want to. God, help me want to. Because Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So change my desires, God. Give me a love for them in place of this bitterness. That can only happen by your power in me. These are the weapons we have. This is the armor of God. Did you notice almost all of that is dealt with through prayer? The battle begins with prayer in the mind. Then it extends out into our actions, our responses. I need the armor to fight my temptation to bitterness. I need it right now. But bitterness is only one of many ways the enemy attacks. So now we walk through that mine, and maybe it's yours too, but I bet you got other ones. You think you can practice using this armor now that we've talked it through? Now that you can think about it, can you practice in other ways the enemy tries to defeat you? Because it takes practice. You can't just hear me do it and be like, I'm good. You got to use it. And the more you use this armor, the more natural it will be. And if it's unnatural right now, that's okay. It can become more natural. I was sharing with a friend the other day the way I use the sword against discouragement. Anybody ever feel discouragement? Maybe just me. Okay, there's three of you. That's good. Well, when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling weak, when I'm feeling discouraged, a lot of times I will swing the sword with one particular verse, Colossians 2:9. I bring this out. I bring this out frequently. It says this, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. You think about that. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus is the Son of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the master of the universe, the maker of all things, and the lover of my soul. He is God, and then you or I have been given fullness in Christ. I have fullness. So I will quote that Bible verse. It's in my head. I don't have to look it up. I don't have to find it. Like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I need it right now. No, I can just say it. I say it to God. And I will say, God, I don't feel full right now. I don't feel full right now, but your word is truth. So even though I don't feel it at the moment, I'm receiving this truth right now. I'm believing you. I'm trusting you. I have fullness in Christ. And you and I both know life is filled with highs and lows. You're going to feel discouraged. You're going to feel down. But this truth remains. I have fullness in Christ. So God, I'm going to trust you through this. You're my foundation, not my feelings. That's a powerful truth for me. And guess what? It's one verse in this whole Bible. You start getting your sword out, and God's going to give you more of those things. So much more. You spend time soaking in this book, practicing with the sword, he will encourage your heart with truth too. Nuggets of scripture that lift up your soul. And when he does that, latch on to it. Find a way to remember it. Write it down. Mark it in your Bible. Do something so you can bring that truth back when you need it again, because you will. We got to practice using our armor. So don't feel guilty if you're like, I don't know how to use the sword. Just start getting it out. Ask somebody to help. We don't have to like mope our heads or anything like that. We've got it. We've got the armor. If you haven't trusted in Christ yet, the invitation is for you. You can start now. If you're like, I'm not even a Christian. Like, well, start. Come to Jesus. Get your forgiveness. Let the Spirit come in, and you can get decked out in this armor too. Because you got arrows flying at you too. Whether you got armor or not. Defensive, offensive. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. What's your next step? What are you going to do with this? I've got some armor, some ideas. I want you to think about it. One, just put on the armor. I got to start right now. Receive it from God. Put it on by faith. Use it through prayer. Maybe for you, you got to practice. Practice using it. Defensively against what? What's the attack? Where are you getting knocked down? Offensively, for what is God calling you to? How's he calling you to reach out? How's he calling you to bring the gospel of peace somewhere it needs to be? Maybe Maybe you got to make a poster like this guy. That took some work. You know why she did it? Because she needed it. Some of you are artistic. Some of you are not. Maybe you're going to make a poster other people are going to see. Maybe you're going to make one that only you can see. I'm not saying you have to, but some of you might benefit from that. Or just show up at one of the home groups. So we're going to talk more about this stuff. How I can use this stuff in my actual situations. You take a minute right now, and then I'll pray. Lord, we know the battle's real. We know it's real. And there's some people here who've never been here before. There must be a reason you had them come today. God, for every single one of us, you have this armor ready for us to use. You want to protect us. You want to strengthen us for the battle. God, I pray that we'll receive you and receive this armor and use it by faith. And trust you and run to you. You are our source of strength. God, you know the specific reason every single person here needs this armor. And it's different for everybody. But God, you know us intimately and you prepare us for battle. So help us to overcome. Help us to win these battles by your power, your strength, and this armor that you've offered. God, give us faith, not empty faith, rock solid faith. You're absolutely real. You've made a beautiful place for us to live, and you've done an incredible thing for us by giving your son to die so we could have your righteousness. God, if anybody here has not received your righteousness yet, still trying to make it on their own, Lord, I pray they'll settle that between them and you today. Talk to somebody if they need to. Just settle it and receive your righteousness through Jesus. Thank you for that incredible gift and that your spirit is available to us every moment of every day. The battle is yours. The blessing is ours. Strengthen us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand? Your name.
your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. There's nothing has the power to save but your name.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for leading us. I appreciate that. Have a seat. Have a seat. We're just about done, I promise. There's a bunch of you who are new today. Like, if you would be willing to fill out a connection card, if you got a program today, there's a card on the attached that just helps us get to know you. We also have a gift for you if you would like. It's small, but it's still something. It's still something. So if you would are okay with us getting to know you, fill that thing out, put it in the offering box right in the back on your way out. We'd love to be able to connect with you. Home groups are meeting this week. This is the last home group meeting before Christmas break. We're going to take a break throughout December. But if you want to have a conversation about what we talked about today, that's where to have it, Mondays and Tuesdays, and get to know some people maybe on a little deeper level than you have here on Sundays. We also have Saucony Cross Party coming up. We give a Christmas party to the folks at Saucony Cross. It's retirement community, and they got a community center. We just kind of take that thing over. We bring them food. Everybody puts together the meal all together. Like, you sign up for things and bring it. And we have a party and we have music and we talk about Jesus a little bit. You know, it's Christmas. We tell them what Christmas is about. But a whole bunch of folks from Saucony Cross come out for that. And the last thing, a very practical thing that some of you are like, well, how can I serve? How can I help? There's one specific need that we have right now as of the last couple months. We need help cleaning this building. Like, it's our responsibility to clean downstairs. The other church cleans upstairs. We have Oasis kids, like 30 to, we had 50 some on come this last week. We got a lot of Oasis kids. They really trash it downstairs, and we don't ask them to clean it up. We ask them to throw their stuff away, but we don't ask them to clean up the lemonade that's on the floor. And so AJ is one of our people, and her backup is not very healthy right now, so we're just asking for one other person if you can help for maybe an hour or two once a week or even occasionally. Let me know if that's something like, yeah, I could do that. So downstairs we got to do that pretty much every week because, not because of y'all, but because of the offensive ministry, we are serving young people and we give them food. We could say, no more food. That would solve a lot of problems. We wouldn't have nearly as many kids at Oasis. Like, it would be great. We could just cancel the whole thing. We don't have to do it. Never mind. Don't have to clean. But if someone is available and willing to be able to help with that, that's a need. Just letting you know. Pray about that. If the Holy Spirit brings deep, unsettled conviction, you come to me and tell me, and we'll take care of that. Anyway, thank you guys for being here today. I hope this was helpful for you. I hope you can take it with you, not just forget it on the way out. Downstairs, there's snacks, there's food, there's more time to hang out. Another church has come, and they'll be here in like 20, 25 minutes. So you can hang out up here for a while. You can hang out downstairs as long as you want. But get to know somebody. So I bet you there's somebody here, you don't know their name. Let them know what yours is and see what's going on in their lives. You guys have a great day.